make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there. And he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap. Dalton back. Looking near side. Throws it. Picked off. And an open run. It's Joe Hayden. And he's in. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci in Berea, loving life, getting ready for 2 hours of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Notorious, it is great to be back so close to you, my brother.
Yes, same here. And a beautiful day. Hopefully spring
finally
actually might.
If it snows again, I'm out.
Me too.
I'm out. I'm done.
I am done. This show will be done from the tropics. It'll be Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford on an island somewhere.
It'll be AKA Miami Dolphins Daily.
I'm literally
driven
done
by
with this.
South Beach Ford.
No, for sure. But anyway, the discussion has been obviously heavy, quarterback heavy, as it always is, especially knowing that this team has these planned workouts with a couple of guys this weekend, Johnny Manziel, A.J. McCarron. And it's we talked a lot about this in the hour or so before this show today about what it's led to in terms of discussion in other places on this station and other places in the media, where people are unequivocally, especially, I guess, here at ESPN 850 WKNR, pretty insistent that the Browns are going to either draft A.J. McCarron. They love him. That's done. It's done deal. It's done deal that they're drafting Johnny Manziel. Love him. Done. And I saw somewhere
Derek Carr. According to Mike Freeman of the Bleacher Report. Done deal. We're drafting
him. Done deal. They're drafting Derek Carr.
We're going to have a lot of quarterbacks. We won't have a quarterback problem we'll have is how do we pay for quarterbacks and how do we find playing time for all of them. But
exactly.
When you have 10 picks, maybe you can go quarterback.
So when I hear that, I'm inclined now to think none of the above is going to be a Cleveland Brown, and the real guy is who knows. But we thought about this too, and I think it's a great topic. You came up with this, that we should spend the time. We spent so much time talking about the so-called top four. Let's get into some of the other guys.
Yeah, and I think we can do that, and we can certainly do that in the coming days. I'm excited because if you pull out a calendar, you'll notice that we are exactly 3 weeks away from the draft. It seems like it is never going to get here. But three weeks away, finally, 21 days from the draft. And so because we are exactly 3 weeks away, I think it would be fun if we outline our ideal top three picks for the Browns in this draft. Number 4, number 26, number 35, and also then get your input on what you think the ideal top three picks would be. 4, 26, 35, so you can come with that today, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. And I'm very curious to see what people produce in terms of not only specific players, but positions.
Right.
How do you value the needs of this team and the order in which you would choose to address those needs, knowing the talent that is out there, et cetera? We will have Dane Brugler today from CBSSports.com at 1:30 p.m. He is their draft expert. We'll talk to him about his latest rankings, talk to him about the quarterbacks, the top-tier quarterbacks, the second-tier quarterbacks, what he expects the Browns will do with their first three picks as well. We can talk to him about his mock draft. Mel Kiper just released his fourth mock draft of the season, which is an interesting one. He has, Mel Kiper, John Manziel, going to the Cleveland Browns at number 4
and
overall.
I think that was his previous pick as well, so he's sticking to Johnny Manziel
and
for the Browns.
It's interesting that he notes in this mock draft that Teddy Bridgewater is the fourth quarterback who comes off the board, but he's saying that's the way that he thinks it could go. He still has Teddy Bridgewater as his top quarterback in this year's draft. So the mock draft does not necessarily indicate what he thinks will happen, but he goes 4 for the Browns at number 4. Johnny Manziel, 26. Kyle Fuller, cornerback that you and I both like as a possibility at that 26 pick. And then at number 35, he is wide receiver. I'm blanking on it right now. I'm trying to pull it up, but it's an insider article, so I got to log into my insider account at ESPN. But he has a receiver going to the Browns, Davante Adams, I believe, from Fresno State.
Yeah, And those are sensible thoughts. The quarterback is going to be in the conversation. Now, sure. I wrote for ClevelandBrowns.com that I believe what we heard from Mike Pettine in his recent interview on NFL Network, but what we've been hearing from him right along, is the idea that this team is not going to be built on a quarterback-dependent model or a quarterback-centric model. It's going to be much more a case of being driven by defense, strong running game, control the clock, beat up on opponents, get physical, tough, all those buzzwords that you've heard from the head coach and what you hear in the advertising for tickets and so forth from the Browns. But it means something to him, and I think foundationally that's where this team is going. It means that your quarterback does not have to be your key difference maker, and the realization that this draft and what is already on this team is unlikely to render that kind of guy, the Browns version of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, whatever, Aaron Rodgers, that guy's likely not here, likely not to come here via the draft. That isn't to say that I believe or necessarily that Mike Pettine believes that guy couldn't evolve, especially a draft pick, but they're not seeing that in how they assess those quarterbacks, apparently, because he's saying as you look at where things are now, you should go into it helping, supporting that guy. You should go into your team plan not putting too much on the quarterback. And I think that's a realistic perspective of what this Browns team will look like.
And we heard that from the head coach. It was an interview done a month ago, aired on NFL Network two nights ago, that basically he likes that Seattle model. And, you know, I went from being all gung-ho Teddy Bridgewater at number four. I still happen to like Teddy Bridgewater and have no problem taking him there. But saying that I believe the philosophy of this organization is such that a quarterback won't be the pick at number four, that it will be either someone on the offensive or defensive lines, maybe even a Sammy Watkins if they decide to go that route, or a Mike Evans at wide receiver. But I think it's going to come somewhere on the line, solidify this team, build a complete package around the quarterback, and then allow that quarterback to do what he has to do to win, but not ask the quarterback to go out there and win games and be the reason that you win games week in and week out. There is a lot of rumblings about this team this offseason that it is in a, quote, win-now mode. I've heard that now on ESPN, CBS, and the NFL Network, that the Browns, the moves the Browns have made are to win now. And you certainly can see that with things that they have done, the way contracts are structured, etc. They do want to win now. So getting a quarterback that is a project is not going to be a situation, you know, where you're expecting him to carry it. You need to have your team in place, and that's what the way that I think the Browns go. That's why I don't see a quarterback at four. And as you talked about in your article, which I'd urge everybody to read at the newly redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com, that it's not going to be a quarterback-centric team or a quarterback-centric offense, in the sense that you're going to run the football, you're going to play great defense, and the team is going to be a team. It is not going to be a Peyton Manning team, a Tom Brady team, a Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers team. It's going to be a team that supports that quarterback.
Ground and pound, again, that's what they called it with the New York Jets. That's what Rex Ryan liked to describe his Jets team, his offense, and it was complementary. It was you pound the football, but you also have that defense to support it. And more than any, or again, it's more a case of the running game or power-oriented offense complementing, supporting that defense. And Mike Pettine was there for that. Mike Pettine was there for not one but two AFC championship games that the Jets reached in spite of having Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. And how did they get there? Ground and pound. That carried the day. And I believe that that's something, well, we know it's something Ryan still believes in. He just signed Chris Johnson there, two-year deal, $8 million reportedly, to help try to sustain that and give them a running game they were lacking for the most part last season. And now the Browns, with Ben Tate in the backfield and with Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator, who understands how you get a running game going.
Yes, but I don't want people to be mistaken. When they hear ground and pound, they can think, hey, this is going to be a boring offense and a boring team to watch. That is not the Kyle Shanahan way. It is not boring. The run will set things up, but Kyle Shanahan offenses throw the ball down the field as well. They use that play action very effectively. And when you go back and you look at Kyle Shanahan's offenses, four times when he's been the offensive coordinator. 4 out of 6 years, he has been top 10 in the NFL in terms of total yards per game. That is very, very good. 3 times he's been in the top 7 in terms of total passing yards per game. He produces offenses that are exciting. And what I also like is when you look at his points, 4 times, well over 20 points per game, 3 times over about 23 or more, including in 2012 when they were the number 4 offense in terms of scoring the NFL, the Redskins at 27.2. But when you go and you look at his passing stats and you look at the fact the number of big plays for a passing offense, plays of more than 40 yards in the air, he has been in the top half of the league 4 out of 6 years, in the top 5 of the league 3 times. This will not be a boring smash mouth offense because that's not the way that it's done with that zone blocking scheme, but it will be run based as opposed to last year, which was completely pass centric.
Right. And that is, I think, the big point to make here. First of all, my definition of boring is losing. If you win, it's never boring.
Amen.
Okay. It's,
amen,
it's never boring. And when I think back to what last year's team was, it was extremely exciting. What North Turner and Rob Chudzinski did was a blast to watch, watching all those passes that were thrown and caught by Josh Gordon. Caught by Josh Gordon. He probably should have been throwing some of them too, I guess, but he had 3 different quarterbacks throwing to him and Jordan Cameron. And yeah, the passing game had some dynamic elements to it, and it was extremely creative on the part, I think, of North Turner to get that much out of what he had. But that was the point. It was part of a losing effort, and there was the fact that the running game not only was an afterthought, it just was non-existent, and you can blame that on a bunch of things.
Sure.
But you could also you could put coaching and philosophy on the list of reasons that didn't happen, because that was never an intent of the way this offense was structured. And again, you and I both talked and loved and marveled at a lot of what North Turner was able to do with what he had. And he got a ton out of Josh Gordon. It won't shock me this year if Josh's numbers are not as impressive as they were last year, or Jordan Cameron doesn't have the same numbers he had a year ago, because I believe there would be much more emphasis on putting those plays in the hands of the running game and setting things up in ways that are a little more conservative and a little safer, a lot safer, than they were. A quarterback taking shallower drops, a quarterback getting rid of the ball quickly, and you know, moving a pace that is such that you're trying to play a higher percentage of success in your passing game, in your running game, and trying to get wins. More than not, you're not compromising. The idea is don't compromise the defense. Protect the defense, and I believe that'll be the mantra that Mike Pettine instills within the team.
The other thing to remember, though, is that I believe our offense is going to have the opportunity to run more plays this year because we're actually going to get off the field on third downs with Jim O'Neill as the defensive coordinator and Mike Pettine as the head coach. And I will say this about the wide receivers and tight ends. I think overall, you're not going to see as many pass attempts. You're going to perhaps see more efficiency in the passing game than you saw last year. I think that's a given. But one thing that Kyle Shanahan has historically done is feed the ball to his number one receiver. His number one receiver, when he truly has had one, has ranked number one or number two in the NFL in terms of targets every single year that he's had a true number one receiver. His top tight end over the 6 years that he's been a coordinator has averaged 77 catches, 939 yards, and 5 touchdowns a season, which compares favorably to last year Jordan Cameron's 80, 9, 17, and 7. And if you go back to Mike Pettine's introductory press conference, he said he wants to win, yes, but he also is not here to win games 9-7. He wants to put points on the scoreboard because he knows that this team has an opportunity with a great defense and a very good offense and a much more balanced offense to be a team that can win games in multiple ways. They can win games that are track meets by outscoring you, and they can win games that are slowed down by playing good defense and controlling the ball. The Browns will have the flexibility to do what the situation dictates now and what the game dictates on offense, which to me is exciting.
Well, and I hope they will. I mean, yeah, it sounds good. Who plays quarterback is going to have a lot to do with that, for sure.
For sure.
And all that you say about Shanahan's success in the past matters, but it did happen with different people, different personnel. This is, I think, a whole new situation. And I'll say this, too. I think this will be one of the first times. I know he had a little bit of this in Houston, but really one of the first times where he hopefully will have a real rock-solid defense to complement what he's doing offensively.
And absolutely.
And my point is, I think that's going to influence and dictate what he does. I don't know for sure that Kyle Shanahan sticks to all the tendencies that he's shown as a coordinator because of the presence of that defense. And it should be thought of in one whole piece here. It's not, well, the offense is going to work this way, the defense works this way. That's when you have problems.
I think
last year was extremely problematic because I think the offense and defense were never on the same page in terms of that. You were trying to do things offensively to obviously, again, get what you could out of those quarterbacks. But all that really North Turner understood, and rightfully so, was to move the ball through the air, get space for his receivers and make plays. But in doing so, there was a lot of getting off the field quickly. There was a lot of you had issues that just did not help. You didn't score enough, and you didn't help the defense enough with what you were doing in large measure. And then ultimately, by the end of the season, that defense collapsed. So hopefully that won't be the case again this year.
That's right. Hopefully it will not. And one of the ways that we're going to continue to add assets to this team comes in just 3 weeks. The Browns, 10 picks, 2 in the first, 2 in the third, 2 in the fourth, 5 of the first 83 selections in the 2014 NFL draft. But because we are 3 weeks away, we're going to focus on the first three. When we come back, Vic and I will give you our ideal first three picks. Then you will tell us yours, 216-578-0850. You're already lighting up the phone lines. We can't wait to get to you when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns right after this.